When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Inspiring interviews with today's top landlords.
This is the Rental Income Podcast.
And now, Dan Lane.
My guest on the podcast today wanted to start buying rental property. She knew it was a great idea. She knew she could make money with it. But her husband wasn't convinced. He didn't like the idea of buying rental properties. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. So she worked on him. She campaigned. She twisted his arm. And eventually he came around and said, okay, let's do it. Let's buy some rental properties. So on the show today, we're going to hear how she did that. And more importantly, how things worked out. Because a lot of times when you have to twist someone's arm a little bit too much to do something, they're just kind of going along with it and they're not fully committed to it. So we're going to see if he was fully committed and how things ended up. Joining us on the show today from Houston, Texas is Natasha Carroll. We'll take a really quick break to thank our sponsors. We'll come right back and we'll talk to Natasha. Whether you've been buying rental properties for years or you're looking to buy your very first rental property, the very first thing you want to do before you go out and find a great deal is to figure out your financing. The lender that I recommend is Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. Chaley has a special limited time offer just for our listeners. She will pay for your appraisal up to $500 when you close a loan with her. Just mention you heard about this on the Rental Income Podcast. If you want more details or if you're ready to get started today, just go to ridgelendinggroup.com. That's R-I-D-G-E, lendinggroup.com. NMLS 42056. A good deal on a rental property isn't going to last very long. To win properties today, you need to move quickly when a deal comes on the market, but it takes time to analyze a property. I want to let you know about an app where you can analyze deals on your phone in seconds. It's called Ask Rick. That's R-I-C for Rental Income Calculator. You can analyze a deal with the push of a button. You can figure out the rent, your mortgage payment, your expenses, and figure out the cash flow. If the numbers make sense, you can make an offer right there on the app, or you can send a calendar invite to your agent to see the property in person. Ask Rick is currently offering a free 7-day trial. Just search for Ask Rick in the App Store or go to Just Ask Rick. That's R-I-C, justaskrick.com. Natasha, so you really wanted to buy rentals and your husband wasn't so sure about it. So how long were you working on him to change his mind?
I was probably like 6 months to a year when we first had the initial discussion. And I think it was more worrying about the rental market and the bad things that he had heard. But it took about six months, almost to a year.
How did you change his mind? How did you get him excited about it?
I think the initial discussion was around how do we leave something for my daughter. Once I brought that up, he started thinking about it. And then spending time maybe talking to a few other people who had rental properties, and they explained how not everything was really bad if as long as you stayed on top of the rental process and tried to make sure you qualify your tenants, then it could be a really good journey.
Yeah. So was it a hard no? Like when you would bring it up, was he shutting you down right away, or what was it?
In the beginning, he wasn't excited at all. It was more like, let me think about it. I need to convince myself. Or how do we know that this will be profitable in the long run? So yes, in the beginning, it was like, no, no, no. But then over time, discussing longevity and building wealth and possibly leaving something to my daughter, right, speaking to other people, he eventually came around. Yeah.
And so you're trying to convince them that this is a good investment, but you're new to rentals yourself, right? Like, did you know a lot about real estate at this time?
Absolutely not. I knew nothing about real estate at all, Dan.
Okay.
It's just crazy. I just knew I wanted to buy homes, but I didn't have any knowledge on the market at that time. I didn't really know how to purchase a property a lot or what you can rent them for. But I was at least knowing that over time, I believe that real estate is a valuable asset, and I knew I wanted to do it. I just didn't know how.
Awesome. Yeah? All right, so you buy your first place. So how did that go with your first place? Like, did he just come around one day and say, "Okay, let's do this"?
No, I actually was I was talking to someone who was a realtor at that time, said that they had worked with investors, and we kind of met up with them. I was really excited about buying the properties that they had said that they were having coming up that was being built. So I think we had that initial discussion, and then we waited for like 3 or 4 months, and then we decided to purchase a property at that time. So over time, I guess a whole year, he was kind of convinced and seeing the market and the potential, and we eventually jumped in and purchased our first initial property.
Awesome. So tell me about the deal. Like, what was the property like?
Yeah, the deal, I think we purchased it, that deal probably in the spring, Texas area. We were super excited at that time. We were trusting someone else. Let's just be very clear. I didn't know anything about real estate, trusting someone else that they had did the homework on the market and what the home should sell for. Actually, it was a new construction deal, the first one that we purchased. So believing that they had surveyed the neighborhood, knew the value, had worked with the builder before. So we went through the process, was excited to buy it, put down some money, and then we purchased our first property.
Awesome. Yeah. And how did it work out?
Actually, that first property wasn't that good. I think over time, we purchased that property, and right after that, the market started to crash in 2007, 2008 timeframe. And then my husband, of course, and myself was a little nervous about what should we do. And I know he kept saying, "Let's sell it, let's sell it." So we looked into selling it. And we realized, to be honest with you, that we had paid more for the property than it was worth. Yeah. So it was not such of a great experience the first time around. And then we eventually ended up selling that property when the market was crashing, and we wind up taking a loss, which was the first lesson in real estate for us. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't sell. So was the property making money, like, on the rent?
Yeah, the property was making money. That property we purchased, we were renting for $1,400 a month. I think it was just more fear because the market was crashing and all the negative information you hear on the news. My husband kind of wanted to sell the property, but I was also a firm believer in Warren Buffett when he said, when the market is low, you should buy and then, you know, sell when it's high. Mm-hmm. So it was just a challenge and probably nervousness. And we ended up selling that when we took a loss on it.
Oh, wow. So do you think he maybe wasn't fully convinced?
I would say probably wasn't. He wasn't 100% convinced.
Yeah.
But I think since then, we purchased another one. But prior to that, I realized he wasn't 100% convinced.
Yeah.
But he eventually came around.
So then, all right. So you lost money. You got out of that deal. And then how long did you wait before you got back into it and bought your next property?
It was probably like 8 months later.
Okay.
We purchased another property. This time we kind of did some homework on our own. Went at it a little bit independently, trying to understand the neighborhoods. And I physically went out and met some of the neighbors, got a better understanding of what some of the home prices were, and was able to negotiate a better deal on a resale.
Awesome. Okay. So tell me about this property. Was this also a newer home?
No, actually, this wasn't a newer home. Okay. It was in the west part of Houston. It was actually a home that needed more cosmetic work at the time. And the owners was looking to sell it because they were moving out of town. I mean, a lot of cosmetic work. Okay. Holes in the wall. The carpet was nasty. You know, you needed to put mirrors, paint the walls, clean the kitchen. But that property was in a thriving neighborhood, which we always look at something with the good school district. So we took a chance on it. And I think we purchased that property for about 130. Yeah, 125, 130, and put $10,000 of repairs into it, and then ended up renting that property for $1,400.
Okay. All right. Awesome. So that sounds like a great deal. So you're just a little bit over the 1% rule. That sounds good. Now, the very first property, what did you pay for that property and what was it rented for?
Yeah, I think we paid probably 139. Yeah, 139, 140. 139, 140,000. We were renting it for $1,400.
Okay, so the numbers were good on the new construction property, but that was just nerves that the value was going down and you were freaked out. But, you know, the second house has very similar numbers, but. Wait, but the market had crashed by this point, right? So like,
yeah, the market had crashed by this point. So the first house, the market was crashing. I mean, everything really went down, right? Yeah. So it was nerves to actually sell. This house that we actually found, someone else had a bad situation that they lost their job and actually was trying to sell it to get from under it. It was in a totally different neighborhood,
right,
but the
okay.
numbers were better yeah. at that time. The market had crashed. I mean, she had equity in the house. Someone referred us to her and we ended up buying the property.
And so how did this one work out? Like, did you have any trouble finding tenants?
No, actually, once we finished the repairs on the property, because we know how we like to do repairs when we were doing them, very nice and modern, it took probably like 3 days and the home was rented.
Awesome. Perfect. And then is this when your husband kind of got excited about it? Because now you kind of went on a buying binge, right? And you bought multiple properties.
Yeah. Well, at that time, we then brought probably maybe 6 or 7 months, 8 months later, we bought two more properties since that second one. And I think he felt more better about it because then we had more knowledge and we were doing more of our own homework, not necessarily depending on someone else's opinion of the property or the neighborhood. We were doing our homework on what it took to repair and getting feedback from renovation people that we had known and how we should do some things
right.
ourselves. Because in the beginning, we were doing all the work. We didn't have enough money to pay people to do the repairs.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a big difference. It's like you for that first property, you didn't know anything. You were just trusting someone to tell you whatever you needed to know. And so you guys had there was a lot of downside to it where, for the second property, you actually did the research, you put time into learning, and you felt better about it. So is that right?
Yeah, I would say for anybody who's actually interested in investing in property, there's a lot of people who tell you, oh, yeah, we can help you find the property. We can help you close the deals. But you really just need to educate yourself
yeah.
along the way so you will feel comfortable in your own heart
Absolutely.
About the decision that you're making with your money, because it is your hard-earned money, right? And when something goes bad, it can leave a bad taste in your mouth. But I realize it's a lesson learned, right? Every
yep.
lesson learned makes you stronger at what you do. So by the second time around, we were doing more of the homework ourselves and we felt comfortable. Even though we had took a loss, we don't believe in giving up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So then you ended up with 10 properties.
Yeah.
Is that right?
In the end, we ended up with 10 properties.
Wow.
Yes, we had 10 properties at one time.
Now, tell me about the neighborhoods. Like what were the neighborhoods like?
Most of the neighborhoods were pretty much family oriented. All the neighborhoods that we actually buy in, we try to buy in suburbs, to believe it or not. Mm-hmm. We haven't bought any townhomes or anything like that. They're normally single family homes in neighborhoods where it's either mature families, people have been there for a while, or the homes are between 1800 to 2600 square feet where a new family can actually enjoy the home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we always try to buy stuff with a minimum of 3 bedrooms.
Okay. And what about school district? Is that important?
Very important. We always try to buy in the probably the better school districts in the Houston area. So we've brought in Spring School District. We brought in Katy School District. We brought in the Houston School District. But school district is very important, especially here in Texas for a lot of people.
Now, have all of the properties that you've bought, have they all needed just cosmetic repairs?
Yeah, for us, it's either new construction or cosmetic. Being an investor, there are certain things that we're not interested in working with. We don't look for anything with any foundation repairs, mm-hmm. but it can have holes in the walls. The floors can need to be redone. The roof can probably need to be replaced, but major plumbing, major foundations, major termite work, those things we ourselves don't really try right. to buy properties that need that type of
yeah,
work.
Just the yeah. simple stuff. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. that's good. Did you have a hard time finding contractors to help you out?
I think in the beginning it was because you don't know who to trust, right? Mm-hmm. If it's your first deal that you're doing renovations on, it's building a relationship. But over time, we built relationship with people who specialize in floors or walls or sheetrock and things like that. I would say our first renovation, it took us a while to work with several people to help us get it done. And then after that, since then, we have built relationships and it's much easier now.
Okay. And were you finding the properties on the MLS or did you have another source to find the properties you bought?
Yeah. So some was through the MLS, some was through referrals, and some was through, I guess for us, we sent out several postcards to several neighborhoods that we were actually, looking to do. So I would say our own marketing in the beginning, if it was a neighborhood that we knew we were very interested in.
Okay, so you built this portfolio and, it seems like your numbers were good. Like, were you hitting the 1% rule on all the properties?
I would say on some properties, not all. The 1% rule, I mean, there were times we rented the house less than what the mortgage was for, but maybe like $100 less. It depended mm-hmm. on the situation and the circumstance, right? Sure. But at one time we did that, maybe a couple of times, somebody did a 2-year lease agreement. So it was 2 years and then they knew the price would increase over time, mm-hmm. but they made the commitment and paid like 6 months up front. So it was different.
Mm-hmm. And now this is the interesting part. So things changed and you decided to start selling off some of the properties. What happened?
Yeah. So the whole time I became an investor, I was working full time. So a full time mm-hmm. job, 60 hours a week. And while I was doing that, I actually took on several projects that required a lot of travel and time commitment, implementing software for a huge company around the world. So I started traveling and so did my husband. And we realized there's no way we would be here to manage all of the properties. So then we started to sell those properties because literally we were traveling international and the time zone differences would have us up all hours of the night if there was a problem.
Right. Okay.
So we made a decision to start selling.
Okay. So if a tenant were to call you at 2 in the afternoon because you're traveling all over the world, that might be 2 in the morning and it just wasn't convenient.
It wasn't convenient. Yeah, definitely wasn't convenient for us at that time.
Did you think about getting a property manager?
We eventually did on the back end, but not in the beginning. That wasn't like something we were thinking about when we were just buying the homes ourselves. We eventually built a relationship with a property management company. Now we have that on the latter end of buying, but not in the beginning. No.
So you still have some of your properties, right? You sold off some of them. So how many rentals do you have right now?
We have three. So okay. We have three left. And our goal is to buy some more and look for a smaller apartment building. That's our next investment that we're okay. looking into.
So with the seven that you sold, would you say that they were a lot of hassle? Like, was there a lot of stuff coming up?
I would say that if you're getting into single family homes, there is going to be stuff that come up. Let's not glaze over that, right?
Right.
I mean, you're going to have hot water heaters go out. You may have a leaking roof in Texas. It rains here a lot. You may have, you know, carpet repairs. Well, every time someone moves out of a lease, you have to think about how you freshen up the home to make sure it's attractive to the next renter, right? So there is things that come up over time, and you have situations where people lose their job. So of course, there's always something that's coming up in the rental market when you're an investor, and you have to kind of think about how you're going to handle those things.
Were those properties like just giving you a lot of hassle to where it wasn't worth it?
I wouldn't say it wasn't worth it. It was just since we were managing it in the beginning, it's always something that's taking place. And when you're traveling, you want to be from my perspective, you want to be a good landlord, right? And so being able to be responsive or get the hot water heater fixed or make sure somebody checked the AC if it's not running cool, when you can't respond, I feel like it affects your reputation as a landlord.
Sure.
So that's why we knew with traveling, we were like, let's just go ahead and sell some of them over time.
Yeah? Okay. So yeah, so those properties just weren't maybe not as passive as you were hoping for.
Yeah. I would say they were good in income, but not as passive or as lucrative as we would want them to be.
So did they make money like when everything was said and done?
Yeah, I would say, they made money, was able to pay the mortgage, taxes, and insurance and have some left over. But it wasn't like we were making hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars,
okay.
you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the ones that you kept, like what's different with those properties? Like why not sell everything?
Yeah, I think why not sell everything? There was, the two are in one area that literally it never is empty.
Okay.
So the moment you fix it up, the next hour, someone calls you and tries to rent it. So,
okay,
so we just kept those because they were close together. And if we had to manage them, we're going into one location, right? At mm-hmm. one place. And then the other one is not that far. So they were just all in the same area. That's okay. For convenience mainly.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you make a profit? I mean, because you were buying at a low point in the market when you first started buying, and the market's appreciated a bit. So like, did you make money selling them?
Yeah. I mean, over the time, I would say for those seven properties we sold over time, we made at least $80,000.
Oh, okay.
Which
all
wasn't
right.
a bad profit.
That's not
at
bad
all.
At all.
Yeah.
That's not
I
bad
mean,
at
it's
all.
Over time, but definitely we made money on them. I mean, the first one, of course, I mentioned we lost money, but over time, I think it is so true what people say, you know, homes appreciate in value. The only time they go down, as you're well aware, is if there's a huge market impact, right? Something that's happening on the global level.
I would say overall, Natasha's experiment into buying rentals was a big success. I'm glad that her husband finally got on board. It kills me that she had to sell off seven of those rental properties because they sounded like they were great properties. And it's great that they appreciated it and that she made $80,000, but I think she would have made even more if she continued to hold on to those properties. They would have appreciated more over time. The rents would have gone up. She would have made way more money holding on to them. But hey, at least she still has three rentals, and it sounds like she's open to buying more properties in the future. The other good thing that came out of her experiment into buying rental properties is she ended up getting her real estate license, and today she is a full-time realtor. And she works with a lot of investors. So if you are interested in investing in the Houston area, I would definitely reach out to Natasha. I think she would be a great resource for you. I've got her contact information on the website. You can find it at rentalincomepodcast.com/episode324. I'd like to thank today's sponsor for making this episode possible. It's Chaley Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. If you're looking to buy a rental property, whether you're just getting started or you want to add to your portfolio, definitely reach out to Chailey. She's a nationwide lender, and her specialty is helping investors finance rental properties. She has a ton of different loan programs, and she can find something customized to you for your needs. Chailey is running a special right now for a limited time. If you buy a rental property with her, she will pay for your appraisal up to $500. If you want some more details on that, just reach out to Chailey. She would be happy to talk to you. You can find her at RidgeLendingGroup.com. That's RIDGE LendingGroup.com, NMLS 42056. Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Make sure you subscribe. We put out new interviews every single Tuesday. And if you subscribe, you'll get notified as soon as they come out. My name is Dan Lane, and this has been the Rental Income Podcast.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, it doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.